I'm excited for you guys to be here. So if you're not aware, many of you may not be aware, I recently had nose surgery done. Was anybody in here blessed to see the video? Okay, yeah, there you go. Now, if you don't know what the video is, just type my name into the Facebook address, and there's a video on my page, and you will enjoy it. I basically was put under, and so last Thanksgiving, I was playing basketball with my brother-in-law in Texas, and where's Emily? Oh, she's here. I thought she left, so I was going to say this. I'll say it nicer. The Beards, Emily's family, the Beards have significantly large heads. It runs in the family. They just got bigger domes. So Parker, my brother-in-law, his head is really big, and it's really hard. So we were playing basketball, and he swung his head, and I was going to get the ball, and his head met my face. Boom, cracked my nose in half. So it was horrible. It was on Thanksgiving Day, so like, there was a hospital, like the emergency room was the only thing that was open, and I didn't want to pay $1 billion to get my nose fixed, so I was like, we're good. So I ended up just leaving it, and we came home, and we saw a doctor, and she was like, you need to get this fixed, or else you're not going to be able to breathe in a couple years. And I was like, ah, okay. And so we scheduled the surgery out. It was really far for some reason. I had it last Friday, and they had to re-break it and set it, and then they had to, what did they have to do? It was like a septum thing. They had to repair or rebuild my septum or something like that. It was weird. So they put me out. I went under. Side note, I talked to the nurse and she was like, listen, well, I asked her, I was like, how long do you think somebody could last before they go out under anesthesia? And she was like, maybe 15 seconds. I'm like, all right, bet. I bet you I'll go longer than 15 seconds. And so I'm laying there on the table and she's like, all right, I'll tell you when to start counting. And so they put this like mask over your face. And at first, it's just oxygen, so it's none of the sleepy drugs. It's just oxygen, so I'm like, all right, I'm good. She's like, all right, when I say go, start counting. And she's like, go. So I'm counting one, two, three, and my breath starts getting a little harder to breathe. And then, like, I got to 15, and I remember going past 15, and I was like, yes. And I got to 20, and the last thing I remember is saying 22, and then, like, it was just done. So I won. I got past 15. So, you know, I did it. She said that I couldn't do it, and I did it. But yeah, so it was really funny. So I woke up from the surgery, and my wife was quick with her iPhone, and she got all the gold nuggets after that. It was very loopy from the drugs, so it was good. But yeah, so everything's good with my face. I'm pretty now. Very symmetrical. Everything's nice and straight, so it's good. But yeah, so I'm feeling a lot better. If my nose randomly starts bleeding up here, don't freak out. It's normal. It's been bleeding on and off recently, but it's good. We'll just plug it up and go for it. All right, let's see. All right. So I'm excited to preach this message here today. The title of this message is called Follow Me. Follow Me. And we're gonna take a look at the life of Peter, this guy named Peter. I love Peter because he's a lot like you and me. And if you don't want to admit it, then you need to because you're not perfect. So Peter's the guy that in the Bible, when he was with Jesus, that was always saying something that he regretted. He always said something and was like, oh, dang it, I said it. Or he always did something and it was immediately like regretted immediately. Has anybody ever been there where you say something and you're like, come back in my mouth, no, right? Or you do something, you're like, why did I do that? That was so stupid. We all have these Peter moments in our lives. And so as I was looking at Peter and looking at just his life, I saw a couple of things that we can really learn from him. Maybe we won't make some of the mistakes he made. But it's going to be really cool. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, and we'll get prepared to look at this. Let's pray before we get started. Jesus, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this earth, God, what you're doing in the life of Cameron, God. We thank you that he is healed and cancer-free in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that his healing is available for every single person in this room, God. And I thank you right now that you're healing lives physically, mentally, emotionally, and every aspect, God, of life. You're healing right now, Jesus. You're mending and restoring, and we thank you for what you're doing in us as the body of Christ. And I ask this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would teach us your truths and your wisdoms in the word, Father God. Show us how we can live a better life for you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Hey, it works. Got it. All right. And we start off and we see Jesus. And in Matthew it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother. And they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." Everyone say fishermen. Fishermen. Verse 19. "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Verse 20, "They immediately left their nets and followed him." And so the first thing, the very first words that Jesus ever speaks to Peter were, "Follow me." First thing, right off the bat, first thing Jesus says is, "Follow me." I don't know about you, if somebody walks up and says that to me, I'm calling 911. Like, we're going to get the authorities involved because that is super creepy. You don't do that today. Some random guy comes up and says, "Follow me." And walks back to his white van, right? Like, that's that we teach our kids not to do that. That is something you don't do. And so Peter hears this guy walk up to him and says, "Follow me." And I have to, like, just kind of, you know, put myself in that position and kind of see how weird that is in that moment. Now, there were some customary things that go along with that that made it okay and made it right. But it's kind of strange. The first, like, no hello, no hi, no how is your day? Are you catching any fish? None of that. Just follow me. Very first thing off the bat. And, you know, Jesus had a lot of people in his day who were fans of him. Jesus had a lot of people who loved him, who cheered him on, who rooted him on. In the Bible, we see that Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey and there's thousands lining the street, cheering him on, like putting palm branches down. They loved Jesus. He had a ton of fans, but he only had a very few number of followers. He had a ton of people that loved him, but he only had a few people that were committed to him. And I want to ask you this morning a question to answer within yourself. Are you a fan of Jesus or are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a fan? Are you somebody that cheers him on when things are going good? Woohoo, Jesus, Jesus. But as soon as things start to take a turn for the worse, you're nowhere to be found. Are you a fan or are you somebody who is committed to following him wherever he goes? See, he had a bunch of people that loved him in the good times, but he had very few people that followed him in the bad times. So Jesus had a lot of fans, but not a lot of followers. See, I believe that fans are they're going to go to heaven. You know, we ask this question, and it's kind of the deciding factor of whether or not I'm going to be a Christian is will I make it to heaven? Is this person going to get to heaven? What do I have to do to get to heaven? And I believe that there's a lot of people who would identify as just a fan of Jesus. I believe that they're going to get in heaven. I believe that we're going to be in heaven. We're going to look around. And we're going to be like, hold up, I went to high school with you. How did you get in here, right? We're like, how do you sneak by? Hey, Jesus, you know he's in here, right? Right? We're going to see a lot of people in heaven that we're like, I don't think you should have made it here, right? And then we're going to look around, and I honestly, sadly believe that we're going to look around, and we're not going to see some people we thought we were going to see. We're going to look around and say, oh, man, they talk the talk. They walk the walk. Where are they? We're going to see some people that we didn't think we'd see, and we're not going to see some that we thought we would. But I believe that a lot of the fans are going to make it to heaven. So this isn't a deciding factor of whether you're going to heaven or not. It's what is your destiny going to look like on this earth? You're going to walk into your purpose or not? Because I'm telling you right now that if you're a fan, you're never going to make it to that. You're never going to make it to the destiny that God has planned for your life, the promises that he's given you, simply being a fan of Jesus. You have to be a follower. You have to be a follower. In verse 20, I want to look at something that's pretty interesting. In verse 20, it says that they immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, this is weird because earlier in the passage, Jesus, it said that the two brothers are fishermen. And then Jesus talks to these brothers and he says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Sweet, I'm already a fisherman. I got this. This is pretty easy. So if Jesus says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men, and you're already a fisherman, don't you think you already have some skills that could kind of help out with the job? So why would they leave their nets there when Jesus was calling them to be fishermen? See, Jesus was calling them to be fishers of men, but they left the one thing that catches fish there on the beach. See, I don't understand if Peter really knew what he was doing in this moment, but what Peter was doing is he identified with a really, really difficult reality for us to understand. Is that oftentimes in life, your preparation doesn't look anything like your promise. The school that God has you going to doesn't look anything like your job you're getting when you get out. The preparation that God brings into your life oftentimes looks nothing like the promise that he's given you. And Peter understood this, whether he really understood it or not. He said, look, I'm a fisherman now, and I have all these amazing nets to catch fish and fishing poles and all this stuff. But in order for me to be a real fisherman, I got to leave this here. I got to leave this here on this beach. And so I don't know what God has called you to do, but don't think that because you didn't do X, Y, and Z, you're not qualified. Don't think because I didn't go to this school, I'm not qualified. Because I'm not this, I'm not qualified. Because, listen, your preparation doesn't always look like the promise. I mean, we look at David, right? He's anointed king at a young age. And instead of going to king school in the palace and interning with the king, what does he do? He sits in a field and watches animals eat. That doesn't make sense, God. That doesn't look anything like my... Why, you've called me to be a king. Why am I watching these dirty animals? But David didn't realize that God had to make sure that he knew how to take care of some pretty... Well, some animals before he could trust him to take care of his people. See, David's preparation looked nothing like his promise, and yours probably won't either. So don't get discouraged when God has you go through things that don't quite make sense. Don't get frustrated when God's having you walk around this mountain and you're like, God, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? When you're at a stage in your life where you're at a job and you know this is not your calling, but God's having you in this job for a season, don't get frustrated. Learn what he's trying to teach you. Realize that this preparation is for a promise. And it might not look like it, but you have to trust him. You have to trust him. And that's what Peter did. He said, you know what, Jesus? Okay, I'll follow you. I'll drop my nets. And I'll follow you. See, following Jesus is really difficult sometimes. And we all know that it can be a little tricky. It can be a little confusing. It can be a little hard. But in the end, if we're faithful to him, we'll see that. We'll see the reward of it. Now, I want to go to Matthew 14, and we look at another thing that Peter did. Matthew chapter 14. Verses 26 through 31. Oh, we got it. Cool. And it says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. And so in this passage of scripture, the disciples were all in a boat. And Jesus was walking on the water. Super crazy. I know, like, we're kind of used to hearing that because that's kind of a church thing to say, like, Jesus walking on the water, oh, yeah. If you really think about walking on the water, it's kind of crazy. So Jesus is, like, strolling up to the boat on the water, and then he says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. So his disciples are sitting there, and they're like, this is a ghost, there's no way, like, this is crazy, who is this guy walking on the water? And Jesus says, what's up? It's me. It's Jesus, right? It's Jesus. Next verse. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. This is the cool, like, honestly, this is probably one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Like, this is so cool. And so Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Where am I stopping? Because I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay. Let's go to the next one. You have the next one? Okay, cool. But when he saw that the waves was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And 31, it says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And so, okay, can we, before we beat up on Peter too much, can we just acknowledge the fact that homeboy walked on the water? I'm just saying, like, we give Peter a bad rap sometimes. Like, we say, oh, Peter was this stupid guy, and he was always doing dumb stuff. When's the last time you walked on the water? I'm just asking. And running really fast across your pool doesn't count, because I've tried that. It sort of works, sort of, but that doesn't count. Peter walked on water, like legit walked on water. Like, we give him a lot of crap, but this man was pretty awesome. He walked on the water. And so before we beat up on him a little bit, we just got to acknowledge that fact. He walked on the water. But I want to look at something. I think it was verse 28. Can you go back to verse 28 for me, Matt? Yeah. So, and Peter sees Jesus and he says, if it's really you, Jesus, command me to come to you on the water. Now, something's interesting jumped out to me, because when Jesus first approached Peter that day when he was fishing with his brother Andrew, what did Jesus say to Peter? What were the first words he said? Follow me. The first thing Jesus said to Peter was, follow me. And so in that moment, that was Peter's invitation out into the water. That was Peter's invitation to come out. Jesus said, look, follow me. Wherever I go, you go. If I'm walking on the water, you're walking on the water. Wherever I go, you're coming with me. So Peter didn't even have to ask permission. He was already invited. And you're already invited. That moment when you said, God, I'm giving my heart to you, I'm giving my life to you, and Jesus looked at you and said, all right, let's go, follow me. Now, when in those times, you don't have to ask, Jesus, I want to go with you to this place. Jesus, I want to come with you and lay hands on the sick and do this stuff. You've already been invited. You don't have to have permission. You don't have to gain access or anything. You're in. You're in. Peter didn't need to be invited. He was already invited. Jesus already told him to follow him. And so, once Peter... Okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Following Jesus is impossible when you lose your focus. Following Jesus is impossible when you lose your focus. I want to show you this. Caleb's not here. I thought Caleb was here. Okay, I'm going to tell you guys a story. He's next door? Oh, yeah, go get him. I mean, this story's about him, so it's pretty funny. So you guys can all laugh at him while I'm telling this story. It's great. So I think it was in about November, no, maybe September. I don't know. Late fall last year, real late fall. For some reason, I had an idea. Oh, it'd be really fun to take some of the youth guys camping. I was like, oh, that'd be cool. I think this was in November. It was really cold outside. It was freezing. And so I don't know what I was thinking, but it was probably 40 degrees outside during the day. I'm like, you know, that's not bad. That's camping weather. We could camp. You got him? Caleb, I'm telling the story of when we were camping. Oh, sick. That's my worst. Yep. You don't have to come up here, but you can, like, show everybody. Okay. All right, so we had the idea of going camping. Remember, it was like 40 degrees. It was super cold. It was really cold. Yeah. So we get there, we're at this campsite, right? We get there, we pull up, and this is how I know I made a mistake, right here. This is the sign that I made a mistake. We're driving to our camp spot, and we passed about 100 RVs. There is, like, just rows of RVs, and these aren't, like, you know, cheap RVs. These are the top of the line, like, these people are glamping. They're not camping. Like, they are luxury camping, and it is dope, right? And so we're passing, and so we're in our little section of the lot, and we're putting up the little tent, right? And I'm looking around, I'm like, oh, man, these people got heat in their RVs. They got Wi-Fi. They're living it up. And so that's the first, that's when I knew something bad was going to happen. And so we make our fire, right? We settle in for the night. And then it gets down to about 22 degrees, 25 degrees at night. Yeah, it wasn't good. And I was already underprepared. I brought like two blankets and like a little pillow top. And so we're all, there's five of us. We're all in there just like cuddled up super close to each other, like just freezing cold, right? It was so cold. And so we made it through the night. We didn't really sleep. Did you sleep really?
No, because I had like three people on top.
Yeah, everyone was like cuddled together for warmth. It was super funny. So we wake up, right? And so we made it through the night, and we wake up, and if you know me, I'm pretty active. I like to run around and be a child. So I looked at these guys. I'm like, hey, let's go running through the woods. Let's go do some, like, parkour stuff. You know, a little morning jog. It's probably, like, 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, let's go run around, right? And so This is good. So Caleb and Brandon and who else was with us? Howard and Micah. And so we're running, right? We're running through the woods. They're right behind me. They're keeping up pretty good. And at this point, I'm not really going fast. We're just kind of jogging, right? We're just moving. And, you know, we're having fun. And then about a mile into our hike, like, I started moving. Like, I'm trucking now. I'm going pretty fast. And so I look behind me, and they're right there. They're keeping up. So I'm like, all right, they got it. And we're running through the woods at this point. And so I'm running down this hill. It's like a really steep little hill. And I sprint, and all of a I still feel bad for this. So all of a sudden, I stop, right? And this is exactly what I did. So you're behind me, right? I stop, and I'm like, stop. And I do one of these, like, parent protection things. Stop. Don't go anywhere. And Micah and Howard.
They didn't go down the hill.
No, they stopped.
Yeah, but no.
They stopped. They were able. Listen. Okay.
Really fast.
You guys were going really fast. So I say stop, right? Micah and Howard were able to stop. For some reason, Caleb and Brandon, they did not stop. They go flying, and this whole like floor is just mud. Like, not the kind of mud where like, oh, I got a little dirty. Like the quicksand mud where the moment you step in it, you just go and like just sink to the bottom, right? And so I still feel so bad. So they go in, right? And I look, and they're about here. Up in the mud, just looking at me like, dude, really? Like, really? We were following you, and this is where you lead us, right? They were mad at me. And I'm like, I told you to stop. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry.
I lost my shoe. I wore plastic bags.
So if you've ever been stuck in mud, you know that when you lift your leg out, your shoe doesn't come with you. It just stays there. So both of them simultaneously like hop out of the mud, and I look at their feet, and they're just socks on. Like their shoes are like 2.5 feet down in the mud. And so we're like, guys, we have to get them. And they're like, let's just leave the shoes. Remember that? You're just like, let's just leave them. We're done. And so I'm like, no, we got to get your shoes. Your parents are already going to kill me. So we get in there, and we like get their shoes out, and they're just like mud, all mud. Like you can't see anything, just mud, right? And so, yeah, you guys, and they ended up, what'd you guys do? Like went back.
Yeah, we had to go to the showers. Even then, it was like, it didn't work because our clothes like were just
yeah.
Dripping mud.
Oh, yeah, it was bad. So they went back to the showers. They got cleaned up, but now it's a good story. So let's give up for Caleb. I'm sorry. Let me give you a hug. Thanks for coming in here and let me make fun of you a little bit. But they got cleaned up. We got past it. We, you know, we had a fun rest of the camping trip. But there was a moment when they were following me where they lost focus of me. They weren't paying attention to their leader when I said, stop. There was a moment when they were following me and they were just looking at the trees or looking at this or looking at that or enjoying the hike, enjoying the moment where they just lost focus and they fell in the mud. They got all dirty. But once Peter found himself following Jesus in a place he'd never been before, he realized he needed a deeper level of focus. See, Peter was walking on the water. And he was looking at Jesus, and then all of a sudden he started looking at the wind and the waves and all the noise and all of the distractions, and he realized that he was sinking. And he realized, Jesus, I need some help here, because the reality is that it was easy for Peter to follow Jesus on the land. He was familiar with that territory. He didn't really have to focus on Jesus that much because he knew how to step over a bush, or he knew how to walk around a tree. He didn't really have to focus that much because he was really familiar with walking on the land. He knew that pretty well. But as soon as Peter found himself in an environment where he had never been before, he needed a deeper level of focus on Jesus. And how true is that with us? Whenever we're in our lives, in our daily lives, and it's easy to get in a rut where we're like, Jesus, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm at. I've been here before, Jesus. I can juggle these things. I can be distracted. I can go a couple days without really seeking your presence. I can do all this and be fine. But as soon as the Lord leads you into a season of your life where you've never been there, You might sink if you don't realize I have to give it all to Jesus in this moment. I have to lock in this moment. I have to come in and keep my eyes fixed on him. Because look, in that moment, you can't carry that sin issue that you've been carrying in the last season. You can't carry some of the insecurities that you've been managing the last couple of seasons. You have to get to a place where you say, Jesus, you know what? I'm going to follow you and I'm going to focus completely on you. Because if you and I don't, we're going to find ourselves waist deep in the mud. We're going to find ourselves stuck. Because following him in a place where you've never been requires a deeper focus. And Peter figured that out the hard way. He figured that out the hard way. So following Jesus will allow you to do some pretty cool things. It'll take you to some pretty cool places. And I believe that following Jesus, each and every one of us, he's planned an incredible adventure. It's an adventure. It really is. And he's going to teach us new things. He's going to show us new things. But if we can just really commit to getting rid of all of the distractions in life and locking in, it'll be easy. It'll just be easy following him. So the last thing I want to look at is in John. John chapter 21, verse 1 through 7. This one's cool. I like this one. This is towards the end of Jesus' time here on the earth. This is after Jesus had been arrested and betrayed by Judas. This is after Jesus had been nailed to the cross. This is after Jesus rose from the dead. And so all of that time goes by, and here in John 21, verses 1 through 7, we see an interaction with Peter and his disciples. And it says in John chapter 1, verse 1, that after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. So all the disciples were together with each other. And Simon Peter says to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we are going to go with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. See, for some reason, Peter in this moment, for whatever reason, he decides to become Simon. Peter in this moment, he decides, you know what, I want to be Simon. Now, Simon was Peter before Jesus. And Peter was Simon after Jesus. But in this moment, Jesus had died. His season with Jesus is over, so he thinks. And so he says, you know, I'm going to go back to what I was before Jesus. I'm going to go back to what I did before I met Jesus. In verse 4, it says that, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. When you go back to a life without Jesus, it'll always be empty. It'll always be empty. See, once you've walked on the water, once you've healed the sick, once you've prophesied and see the Lord use you, when you go back to being Simon, there's just nothing in it. There's nothing there. And Simon and his friends figured that out. They didn't catch anything. They were good fishermen. They didn't catch one fish because that life was done. That life was over. That life, that season of their time was over. And they said to Jesus that, no, we didn't catch any food. In verse 6, and he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. And so we see in this time that they're fishing, they didn't catch anything, and Jesus tells them to cast their net on the other side of the boat and reminding them that, look, you need me in your life. He just reminded them, look, you need me. You can't do this without me. You can't do the small things in life without me, Peter. The things that you think you can do, that you think you're good at, he really reminded him where his talent came from in the first place. And he showed him he needed him. And then once they caught all these fish, Peter's like, man, that really is Jesus. And he jumped into the ocean and swam to shore. But something's really interesting about that is that Peter, he swam where he once walked. Peter started swimming where he once walked. In verse 7, it says that he jumped into the ocean and he swam to shore to Jesus. Peter was called to walk to Jesus on the water. See, when you go back to that life, you settle for lesser. You settle for less. See, you're swimming where you should be walking. You're swimming where God has called you to walk. There's places in your life where you're content with when God says, no, I've called you to greater things. See, when you and I go back and we want to be Simon instead of being Peter, who we're called to be, we give up portions of the calling that the Lord has placed on our lives. And we give up and we settle for things that are less. We settle for less, and we're okay with swimming. I'm not okay with swimming. I'm not okay with swimming when I know that the Lord has given me the ability to walk. And Peter, for some reason in that moment, forgot all about his experience with the Lord and said, I'll just swim, when he was called to walk. In verse 15, I'm going to jump down to verse 15 through 17. We'll read this. And it says that, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Simon said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. In verse 17, he said to them a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. See, a lot of people think that Jesus was restoring Peter from the three times that he denied him before he was crucified. And I believe that that's true, but I believe that there's even more to it, that Jesus was reminding Simon of his destiny and of his calling. See, when Peter put down following Jesus and he picked up those nets again and he said, I'm going to go back fishing, he gave up that destiny. And he said, I'm going to go back to what I'm comfortable with. As soon as his life got difficult, he went back to what he was comfortable with. And Jesus came to him and he reminded him what he was called to do. Feed my sheep, Peter. I have called you to feed my sheep. I didn't call you to sit on a boat and fish anymore. I've called you to feed my lambs. Do you really love me, Peter? Walk in your destiny. Do you really love me, Peter? Do the things that I've called you to do. And in that moment, Jesus was reminding him of why he was created. And in this moment, I want you to begin to think of the things that the Lord has put on your heart and that has called you to do. And put down those nets again and pick up your destiny. In verse 18, we see it says that most assuredly I say to you, and Jesus is talking to Peter, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. And so Jesus tells Peter basically how he was going to die. And this is the crazy thing, because later on in Peter's life, we know this from history, that Peter ended up dying, being crucified on a cross. But I'm not worthy to die the same death as my Lord and Savior. And so they flipped him upside down and he died on a cross hanging upside down. He followed him. Peter got it. He followed Jesus to the end. And the crazy thing is, in verse 19, the very last thing that Jesus says to Peter is, follow me. See, the first thing Jesus ever said to Peter when he met him was, follow me. And he walked on earth with him for 3 years. And before he left, the last thing he said to Peter is, you're not done, Peter. You're not done following me. So no matter how much life you live, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, you're never done following Jesus. Even if you've been to the mountaintop, even if you've experienced these incredible things in your life, follow me. Follow Jesus. Even when you're at your worst and your lowest and you feel like life can't get any worse, follow me. Follow Jesus. We're never done following Jesus. And we all know the story of how Peter's life ended up. I feel like in that moment, something clicked for Peter and he said, oh, this thing isn't done. This little adventure isn't done. And we know that Peter went on to be one of the greatest apostles that really was the cornerstone for church. Like if Peter would have not gotten it in that moment, I wonder if we'd be sitting here today. His destiny, his calling was realized in that moment. And I pray that there's destinies and callings realized in this moment. See, Jesus wants to take you on a journey. And will you follow him or will you just be a fan? Will you follow him or will you just be a fan? So Jesus, this morning, this afternoon, God, we thank you for choosing us out of the billions of people that walk this earth. God, you put your finger on us. You've written a destiny about us. You have a plan about us. And today, God, we want to become faithful followers of you. We don't want to be fans, Jesus, who cheer you on, but we want to be followers who are willing to go to the ends of the earth for you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and work in our hearts. Wake up the dreams and the destinies and the callings that have been placed in our lives that we maybe have set down, God, to go back. I pray that we would pick those up again, Jesus. Father, I pray that we would walk where you've called us to walk and not settle for swimming, God. Let us not settle for less. Let us rise to the fullness of our potential here on this earth, Father God. With every eye closed and head bowed, I want to ask this question. If you're here today and you just say, you know, I don't want to be a fan of Jesus. I want to be a follower. You want to give your heart to Jesus. I would just ask that you just raise your hand right where you're at. Just lift your hand up so we can all see. And done being a fan. Thank you for those hands. I see them. And so, if that's you, I want you to just pray this in your heart. Jesus, I'm no longer a fan of you as of today, but I'm committing my life to following you. Committing my heart to following you, Jesus. I surrender everything to you, and I ask that you would come in and be the Lord of my life. You're so worthy, God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're not a fan anymore. You're in it for the long haul. You're in it for the long haul. You are a follower, and we are all followers of Jesus. So if you can all stand with me as we close. Follow me. The last thing Jesus said to Peter. I want you to go from here with that etched in your mind, in your brain, that every moment we're awake. Every moment of our lives, we're called to follow. We're called to follow. We never outgrow it. We never outlearn it. We're always following him. And so we're going to pray one more time, but if you could, please put your hand on your heart for me. I'm going to pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for these faithful followers. I thank you that in this room you have unique and incredible destinies and journeys and adventures that you want to take every single one of us on. And we're committed to following it. We're committed to following you to the end. And so I pray that you would bless every single person in this room, that you would reveal more of who you are to us, Jesus, that you would continue to take us from glory to glory to glory. I pray for health. I pray for peace. I pray for prosperity. And I rebuke the devil in any attacks that he might have against these people in this room. I thank you, Jesus, that you've given us such an incredible family here at CNC. And I pray that you would continue to knit us together ever tighter, God. And lastly, Jesus, I pray that the Cavaliers would annihilate the Warriors tonight. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, well, enjoy your Sunday afternoon. We love you very much. Remember to live right, love everyone, and pray really, really hard.